thank you, Minister. Pleased to see you here. And I'm also pleased to see that you have not put forward any amendments to this motion. Look, you're aware that in recent weeks we have received very detailed briefings from the Irish Primary Principals Network and the INTO on the situation regarding the severe lack of funding for primary schools. As one principal said to me, we have been running on fumes for a few years. We are actually running out of fumes now. Look, the analysis that they presented to us on the situation regarding the very significant funding gaps in our primary education system, Minister, is compelling and, I believe, needs an immediate response from government. School principals and teachers have presented us with the facts and the figures to underpin their case for badly needed funding increases to run our primary schools. I personally have visited a number of primary schools in my own constituency in recent months, and I've spoken with principals. I've spoken quietly with them about their individual situations, as well as the overall crisis in primary education funding. And what I've seen, Minister, is that schools are really struggling to pay their core bills. And by core bills, I mean heat, light, insurance, where things like money to employ a caretaker or cleaner, whatever, is just not available. Principals and teachers find themselves carrying out these jobs. But, Minister, that's the least of it. With schools finding themselves in a position that they have to fundraise, often two or three times per year, just to pay basic bills, such as, for example, refuse disposal costs, bank charges, Irish water charges, accounting fees, payroll and admin costs, costs relating to health and safety provision in their schools. There are a myriad of costs involved in running a school that they say are not acknowledged or covered by department funds. And so many schools are really struggling. Minister, while fundraising is never easy, you and I know it's even more difficult in areas of deprivation or especially in small rural schools. There was a time when fundraising was for the little extras, to help to pay for a bus to bring students to a match or some educational function, to provide a few extra resources for those students who really need the extra resources. But that's all gone. And that puts so much pressure on schools. Indeed, Minister, a recent survey carried out by the Catholic Primary Schools Management Association in April of this year reported that schools had seen their energy costs increased by over 35% in the last 2 years, while insurance had increased by 19% over the same period. And 7 out of 10 of those primary schools ran at a deficit at some stage in the past 12 months. Minister, I don't know about you, but I think that's untenable. It just can't continue. So we have to ask ourselves the question, why is this happening? Well, the figures speak for themselves. The chronic underfunding in government expenditure per student in our primary schools, which is equivalent to 13% per capita gross domestic product, while the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, average is 27% per capita, leaving Ireland last out of 36 developed countries for spending on education, as per a recent OECD report. Minister, Ireland has always been a country that prided itself on the quality of its education system, especially its primary system. And when you have both teachers and principals telling you that their main concern for primary education is the serious underfunding in this sector, you know it's a real issue. Look, I acknowledge, for example, that you've made improvements to the pupil-teacher ratio in your term, but we still see that our pupil-teacher ratio is 22.8 pupils per class size, whereas the European average is 20 pupils per class. And Minister, what we are speaking about here is the EU average. So many European countries have a lower pupil-teacher ratio than Ireland. Countries with lower GDP levels, have a higher spending on education. And one of the main asks of this motion is to bring our pupil-teacher ratio down to the EU average. That's not a big ask, Minister, and one I believe you could deliver in the next budget. Now, one point that I have made in my motion is that despite the chronic level of underinvestment in primary education, 15-year-old Irish pupils score among the highest on the OECD programme for international student assessment, which clearly indicates the quality of teaching in our schools and the ability of our students. I note the Taoiseach's response to this very issue of underfunding in our primary education system last week was to quote this fact as if somehow this was a vindication of government funding in the system. But the truth is, these results, which show that Irish 15-year-olds are among the highest achievers in this OECD assessment, is not related to the government funding. Because, as I said earlier, Ireland is last out of 36 developed countries for spending on education, according to that same OECD. That is unless, of course, the Taoiseach is saying the less money you spend, the better the outcomes. What he should do is give credit where it is due to the quality of teaching and the ability of our 15-year-olds, despite the very serious underfunding in our primary school system. But, Minister, struggling to keep schools afloat comes at a cost. Principals are suffering burnout at a worrying rate because they're under increasing pressure, running schools at a deficit, trying to make ends meet, relying on volunteers to help out, asking parents to contribute. None of this should be on the shoulders of principals or teachers. Their job is to teach, to manage, to concentrate all their efforts on making schools the very best they can be and giving our students the most positive educational experience possible. Many of them, they tell me, are operating with both hands tied behind their back. But, Minister, while the overall situation regarding funding is critical, we also need to significantly increase the resources available to schools to ensure that students with special education needs receive an appropriate pupil-centred education so that they have a real opportunity to reach their full potential. Now, Minister, in this context, we must deal with the reality facing pupils, parents and schools, because the number of children with special needs in primary education increased by 56% between 2017 and 2021. And there are over 16,500 children awaiting their first appointment with the Children's Disability Network team. And Minister, some of these teams have a vacancy rate of over 30%. Now look, that's just an untenable situation because both you and I know these children cannot wait. Every day, every week, it just really counts and matters. And early supports and diagnosis are crucial. And in the context of, diagnosis, there are approximately 19,500 children awaiting an assessment of need. And Minister, that's further adding to the difficulties that special education needs pupils are facing in schools. Because there is a severe lack of SEN supports, with special education teachers' allocations frozen or cut, just depending, between 2017 and 2021. While special needs assistant allocations have largely been frozen. Now, principals are telling us that where additional supports are needed, and they often are, they are only granted following extremely burdensome exceptional reviews or appeals mechanisms where the majority of these are not upheld. In fact, in 22-23, 78 appeals in total for SNA exceptional review appeals were made. Of those, Minister, 61 were not upheld. Now, I know from speaking principals the work and the effort and the energy that goes into that, because they see pupils in their school needing those extra supports, and to think that that percentage is not upheld is, I mean, it just, it, principals recognise that the work they put into it and that the needs of their students are not being seen for what they are. And also, Minister, despite a new SET model being introduced in 2024, the criterion of complex needs has been removed from assessments. And every single principal I spoke to told me this was an area of huge concern. And what they say is that many special educational needs, mainstream pupils, will not be recognised as needing supports until they're in second class. And again, in this context, Minister, we see that 362 schools applied for an exceptional review on this matter in 2022, and only 39 were allocated an increase in SET hours. So one of the reasons that principals find themselves in this situation is they say that we have no efficient or timely mechanism for reporting their SEN needs to the Department of Education or the National Council for Special Education. So this results in SET allocations being based on incomplete data, which could easily be rectified by asking principals to input this information on the pupil online database annually. We also see that the number of children with special needs and their families, some are still desperately seeking school places for September 2024, with over 45,000 children on the CDNT teams across the country. Minister, on top of this, we see the crisis in the recruitment and retention of teachers across our education system, which has a further adverse effect on SEN pupils. So in that context, Minister, what I'm asking for the government to do is to commit to aligning primary education funding with the OECD average, ensure the ancillary grant is sufficient to cover the cost of running a school, crucially, to ensure that the 2024 SET allocation model reflects current needs and individual profiling, urgently reassesses the reinstatement of complex needs as a criterion, and immediately to put in place an extension to the POD to ensure real-time and accurate data regarding pupils with special needs. There used to be a box on the POD where a principal could tick that box, but it has disappeared. And the question is, do the department and the NCSE not want to know this information? Yes, you have data from standardised tests, etc., but this does not reflect complex needs, because complex needs requires more support. We also want to ensure that the educational component of the assessment of needs is completed by a qualified educational psychologist with assistance from schools. We're asking you to enforce the EPSON Act and to ensure that sufficient resources and supports to schools are available to integrate refugee and asylum-seeking children. We're asking you to bring forward a better plan to support schools, schools' principals, to increase the administrative time for teaching principals, and reinstate the number of assistant principals back to pre-austerity levels.